Rock it, baby.
Oh my God.
Welcome in, boys and girls. It is time for show 22. There is no other than Boyle. Deal with it. Besides, the show's being recorded on the 22nd. It's all about the double deuce here on The Pucknologists on Pucknology.net. As always, do us a favor. Subscribe, whether it's SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever your podcast platform is. And follow us on Twitter at Pucknologists. And since we last left you, which was just a few days ago, the Sharks now have a record of 42-24-7, good for a total of 91 points. They've gone 4-6 over the last 10. Can you hear the upset in my voice? They still remain first in the Pacific, although their lead in the division has shrunken? It's whatever. It's gone down to 4 points now, ahead of both a tied Edmonton and Anaheim, and only 5 ahead of Calgary. Remember, the Sharks do have 2 games left versus Edmonton and versus Calgary on the docket. So those, I don't have to tell you right now, those games are huge. As always, though, we have to bring in the compatriots, the people that are sandwiching San Jose. On one side, we have the one and only Rocket Backhander.
What's up, Buttercup?
Oh, what's the gist, physicist? On the other side of San Jose, it is Mr. Jerk.
Hello, hello. I am back from my sabbatical, and I'm ready to rumble here.
The facsimile of a reasonable facsimile. It's all
rumble jerk.
Just the facts. So, the week that was in Sharks hockey, since we last left, the Sharks faced the Anaheim Ducks and pulled a 2-1 loss out of this one. This was a huge 4-point game that somehow San Jose was unable to deal with. Anaheim closes the gap in this one. The Sharks' only goal comes on a 5-on-3 power play, which is pretty damn pathetic. Some very bizarre officiating in this one. Hansen also gets hurt in this one, Hurdle taking his spot on the top line, however brief that lasted. A lot of Sharks got pylonned in this one, while Ducks, they seem to just enter the zone with impunity. And there was the god-awful Haley breakaway. No, I'm kidding. That's not on Haley. He is not, no, you know. I don't know about you, hockey jerk, but I think the last guy that I'm going to in the shootout is Haley. So, I give him a little bit of a pass on this one.
Well, I mean, those who listened to last week's episode are kind of calling you a liar, considering he got all kinds of praise.
He got all kinds of praise, but not for his breakaway ability.
I don't know. I think he might be an underrated dangler. but you know what? This game was...
Were you drinking when you were off last week? Was that what that was?
I may or may not have been on a beach with a drink in my hand.
There you go.
Oh, but you know what? This game was just all kinds of, you know, hilarity. I mean, the Ducks get the goal, like, what, 20-some-odd seconds in? And the Sharks aren't able to muster up anything from that point on. It was, I don't know what it is, you know. At the beginning of the season, I said the Ducks wouldn't be a very good team. And, I mean, sure, they're good by division standing standpoint. But other than that, I don't really think they're a scary team except for when they play the Sharks. They like to get up for the Sharks, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat with that. Rocket, your take on the Sharks-Ducks.
Yeah, that first goal, was that a Kessler, Ryan Kessler
Eves.
Goal?
Eves,
okay.
40 seconds in.
Whichever duck that was.
He was the only other guy on the ice with a pretty full beard.
The beard, yeah, okay. Well, you know what? Mr. Eves Duck, congratulations on that. And that's just really put a huge hole in the momentum balloon that San Jose had going. And I, they don't.
Well, how much momentum can you build up in 40 seconds?
Enough to best the San Jose Sharks for 60 minutes of play. Or excuse me, 59 minutes and 56 seconds of play. Just, yeah, I don't, it, they really didn't shake that one off. I felt like that one haunted them for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was, this was a really bad game. One that was very, should have been very winnable for the Sharks. They, at that point, you know, they were kind of on a roll. They were finishing up a six-game, longest homestand of the season, their sixth game on the stand. This was one that you got to empty it all out, and instead the Sharks just looked god-awful. And as I stated before, the only way they could actually put one in the net was when they got it. We were basically just about gifted a 5-on-3 power play on this one. The officials missed a lot of stuff both ways. And then a couple of the things that they called were kind of like, really? You let all this other stuff go, but that's the thing you're going to call? Just some horrendous officiating. And if you listen to the show, we rarely get on the refs for doing, you know, shenanigans, but this is a horrible game. Anybody got anything left on this one before we move on?
Oh, let's just be like the Sharks in that game and give it minimal effort and move to the next one.
Oh, nice. Well, speaking of minimal effort, the Sharks go on a four-game road trip going into Dallas. Now, if you remember, the Sharks decimated the Stars just, oh, I don't know, 8 days prior to this game. And Aaron Dell was in the nets for that one, and he was again in the nets for this one. And hey, if you remember, the Sharks chased Lettinen out of the net in the game just a little over a week ago. But this time, Lettinen gets injured in the warmups, but still plays. And guess what happens, kids? The Sharks cannot put a single puck past this guy. The guy that they chased 8 days earlier, all of a sudden they can't do anything. The Sharks get two power plays on this. They are unable to score on the league's worst penalty kill, the league's worst save percentage. Just horrible. I think they had three shots on goal during 4 minutes of power play times, which is just abominable. Haley gets a whopping 650 of ice time on this one, and it seemed, if you heard our buddy Ian Reed, he did make mention that he looked at the numbers and let us know that the entire fourth line was essentially benched in the third period. When you're benching an entire line against the Dallas Stars, something smells rotten in Denmark, Rocket.
Yeah, because... I was thinking about it for a second. Like, that's the third line is the Joel Ward line, right?
No, that's Hurdle the fourth line you're saying. Are you saying no. Third? Third?
Who's in the third line?
Third line, for better or worse, in Hockey Jerk, I think will back me up on this. For better or worse, for the most part, it's supposed to be Hurdle, Donskoy, and Bodker, correct?
Okay, and the second line.
Lately they've had Bodker on the second line with Couture, so it's been Ward on that third line.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that's basically since the Hansen injury.
Ward on the third line is a terrible idea. He's too slow for that group.
There's a lot of guys who are too slow for this group.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know, but like especially, he doesn't have the right speed for the kind of minutes that they need to get through. San Jose lacked the speed that they are going to need from here on out against the other teams in this division. I don't know what else to say. Like their forecheck is great. Their system is super. But if the other team doesn't give them any opportunity to set it up, that basically knocks the legs out from underneath them. And they're, hey, guess what? Completely useless. The Ducks have figured this out. Dallas has figured this out. If you can figure this out, you can beat the Sharks. And that's not a good thing, especially this late in the season. I'm just really hoping that this is all sort of tied to the rogue injury that's been nagging a couple of different players, added to the flu bug that's going around the team right now. I really don't want this to be like some sort of flaw that's finally rearing its ugly head. I just want this to be something that's being aggravated by outside forces.
Yeah,
I'm not ready.
I can't believe what an incredible turnaround it was between those 8 days. I guess our one saving grace, if you can find a silver lining in this one versus the Stars, is that they didn't have somebody on their team that needed their first goal in their NHL career, huh, Hockey Jerk?
Well, I mean, of course, and you know the Sharks are always good for giving up that one.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, I thought Aaron Dell had a fantastic game. I mean, yes, you know, he let in the only goal in the game and, you know, whatever, but he also let in one goal. Generally, you let in one goal and you're going to be okay.
You would think for the Sharks that would be the... Now, I also have to play devil's advocate too and say the Stars did only put 20 shots on goal in this one.
Right, and... You know, sometimes you need, well, not sometimes, but, you know, you can't rely on your goalie all the time. You know, you need to score goals for him. And mentioned, you know, the flu bug and all these nagging injuries. And yes, they definitely play a part, but to kind of play, you know, Grim Reaper, if you will, this has been a problem all year. And it's becoming even more, you know, amplified right now because it's the home stretch to the playoffs. But I mean, this is nothing new, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah. And another glaring stat on this one, too. You know, Dallas has a little bit of speed. They're not the fastest team, but they've got some speed. And the Stars out-hit the Sharks in this one, 25-9. I don't know exactly what that says. It's a little odd to me. The other thing, too, that just really kind of gets on my nerves about this over this week of Sharks hockey is you see that they're down and with 5-6 minutes left, all of a sudden they start pressuring and they quicker shifts, shorter shifts, just all of a sudden you see them like just working a lot harder. And it's like, where the hell has this been for the previous 55 minutes? You know, if you play like this in the first 20 minutes, maybe get a 2-3 goal lead, then maybe you kind of, you know, play lackadaisical for the rest of the game instead of playing lackadaisical for 55 minutes and then saying, oh crap, let's get back in this one. You know, they had a lot of great comebacks last year. They haven't had any really to speak of in this second half of the season. So after this, just it and if you thought the Sharks Stars game was really bad, let us take you up north to the Minnesota Wild.
Hold my water bottle.
The Sharks lose 3-2 in this one. And just both teams, bizarrely enough in this one, both teams scored 2 goals apiece inside of 1:03. If you can, I mean, essentially you could have, I don't know, done your taxes, walked your dog, adopted a dog, then walked it. Done your taxes, put gas in your car, came, watched hockey for 1.5 minutes, and then left. And you pretty much would have gotten the best of this game. Matt Dumba started it off with a power play goal. Once again, you know, excuse me while I, you know, that's me banging on my special teams drum, by the way. And then Barlow gets 2 in this one, although it seemed like they kept going back and forth. They couldn't tell if it was Marlow or Schlemko got it, but Marlow gets this one, then Hansel just almost immediately gets it back. Then Coyle puts it up 3-1, and then Marlow, 15 seconds later, gives us hope again, 3-2. And yet somehow the Sharks were just unable to get that third one and try to notch this one up. This one, again, the Wild skating with impunity, bringing an incredible amount of speed in this, and I've always been told that when the one thing you have that you can work on to negate the other team's speed is to constantly hit them. You contest your blue line. You don't let guys come in full stride. You check them. You make them make a play. And we didn't see any of that from the Sharks versus Minnesota Rocket.
That was a sad game. I said it that night and I'm going to say it again. That was a sad game. Minnesota is a really good team. It's not like Chicago losing to Vancouver. in the shootout. You know, so I it was an unfortunate loss, but I feel like, again, injury with Carlson, and I think was Schlemko out of this one, or no, he wasn't.
No, he was in this one.
It was Vlasic was out.
Yeah, he had the flu.
Yeah. Okay, so between they all run together.
That Carlson, Hansen.
Yeah, Carlson being out, and Hansen being out too. He was the only person on that top line that was finally getting something going with the Joes, and they just take him out. Why? He left too soon. There were just some key pieces missing from the squad that would have made the difference, you know, between winning and losing, I think.
Those key pieces being heart, effort,
they do a lot of really little things correctly, and it adds up to a very complete, very just total hockey player. And Carlson is, he's had it before he got injured. He's been having himself a heck of a season. I'm just going to make a lot of breathy noises because I'm just frustrated. Yeah, I can't feel super bad about this loss against the Wild. It wasn't my best favorite memory of the team this season for sure, but it also isn't time to hit the panic button yet because it wasn't a full effort from the full squad.
Well, this is one that just sticks with me just due to the fact that the Sharks took some lazy penalties in this game. Thornton took a really lazy tripping call in this penalty.
See, you guys keep saying that. You see that, but I didn't see it as lazy. I saw it as well-timed by the Minnesota skater. Like, he sold it a little bit and took the fall because he knew what was going to happen.
Oh, my God. And speaking of selling it, can we talk about Dubnyk for a second? Oh, my God.
So I think, like, before you hammer Thornton into the ground for being, you know, lazy, I think you want to look at the Minnesota skater and commend them for being dramatic and, you know, making the sell.
Making the sell, but the Minnesota skater, though, isn't the one that's raising Thornton's stick up to his hands.
No, you know? That's on
Thornton.
Yeah, but that wasn't that was the penalty that I'm talking about is the tripping call.
Yeah. Well, either way, and the fact that Dubnyk just out and out, I don't even know. I can't remember the last time I've seen a goalie just whip his head back like he'd been, you know, took a headshot from a sniper.
Mike Smith.
And the is another good one. And and Kevin Kurz, Sharks beat writer, pointed out on Twitter saying that he was trying to sell it. He definitely embellished, which got me thinking, it's like, why don't you ever see a goalie get called for embellishment when you see them do it so often? I would love to see that happen just once. You know, hockey gods, if you're fair and just, make that happen just once in my lifetime. I want to see it. And preferably Roberto Luongo, just because. just because.
I don't care.
Ryan Miller. Basically, anybody who's ever worn a Canucks jersey, just make that happen. This is the one, again, like I said, the Sharks, funnily enough, the Sharks out-hit the Wild by one. It was 13-2, but it should have been a lot more because the Wild had the puck for so much time in this game. I wish I had the possession numbers in front of me, but it was ridiculous how much Minnesota really controlled possession in this game. And the only way that you're going to be able to try to break out of that is you just got to go out there and you got to level some guys and slow them the hell down. The Sharks refuse to do this. Hockey Jerk, what's your take from this ridiculously wild, wild game?
Well, I mean, you kind of hit all the points and checked all the boxes, but
all right. Well, then let's move on.
No, but everyone, you know what? You're right, though. Like, Minnesota is a really good team this year, and
this was a big game because the Sharks, I mean, if they want to go far in the playoffs, that would be nice, and you could potentially be playing for home ice in this game if Minnesota knocks Chicago out or something, you know.
Right, and I hate to use the term measuring stick game, But that's what this was. You know, for years now, it's been said that, oh, Minnesota, you know, they're the real deal this year. They're going to be good.
They're
going
to win it.
And then they play Chicago, you know, four times in the last 3 years, and they lose every time. And, you know, that's the end of it. But I really think that Chicago, or I'm sorry, Minnesota, I think they really are the real deal this year. I think if they do meet the Sharks in the playoffs, time. And as you alluded to, you know, if you don't have the puck and you can't match the speed, just wear them down. Hit, because that's how you're going to free the puck, is by knocking them off of it.
Exactly. So that's pretty much the week that was in Sharks hockey, kids. Like I said, last week was a little late, covered a little more hockey. This one, it's a shorty, just three games. So
it's a shorty just like Dan Boyle.
Hey, boom. Now. That's right. Episode 22, baby. Wow. Hey, now. So we move on to Shark Bites. And we only got one for you this week. It's been a lot of debate. For those of you who are not seeing it, we all talked about it maybe three, four, five seasons, or seasons, try episodes. Talked about it three or four episodes ago that, oh my God, you know, if Burns' name isn't already on the Norse, there's something wrong. But now Erik Karlsson has come on of late while Burns has basically gone absolutely dormant. Last time I looked, Burns doesn't have a point in the last six games, doesn't have a goal in the last nine. While Carlson's pouring it on, and I will put it to you. Maybe we can get some healthy debate. Okay. This is what we're going for. This is what it's come down to, people. There is literally nothing to talk about in Sharkland for the most part. So now it's time for the debate. So, Hockey Jerk, why will Erik Karlsson end up getting the Norris instead of Burns?
Because... Oh, man.
And you can't say because he's good, so he should feel good.
Erik Karlsson will win the Norris because, you know, he's started to score at a much more rapid pace in the second half of the season than he has been in the first half. And, you know, Erik Karlsson, at least to, you know, if you want to call him the casual fan or what have you, you know, Erik Karlsson is more of a household name. You know, he's been in the conversation for the Norris Trophy many times in the last four seasons. While, you know, Brent Burns, yes, since he moved back to defense in 2014, he's gradually gotten better every year. He still hasn't been in the conversation. And so I feel like, you know, there are some who could make the argument that, well, you know, Carlson's been there before and he's due, and, you know, Burns kind of caught fire and now he's cooling down a little bit. And kind of, you know, translating it to Brent Burns, if anything, doesn't his cold streak make his candidacy for the Hart Trophy a little more realistic when you think about the fact that the Sharks haven't won a whole lot of games lately?
Yeah, potentially so, but I think it who knows on the way they judge these things. We've seen guys that make it into the All-Star game that have no business being in the All-Star game when you look at their entire season. You know, they had six really good weeks that put them there, and somehow that makes them an All-Star. So with that, we'll go to you, Rocky. I mean, Burns has played in the All-Star game the last couple seasons. Why does Burns still retain the Norris?
Burns will retain the Norris because they're not going to judge an entire season based off of 2 months worth of performance.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And if you look at Burns versus Karlsson from, like, say, 5 days ago, before all the way up to opening day, you'd probably give it to Burns. So throwing that into the mix, I don't think Burns is going to be cold forever. I think he'll probably snap out of it. If not tomorrow, then very shortly after that, and just light up and stay hot, 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 hot until golf season. So yeah, I say that Burns is going to take it because he's got gravity, man.
Cool. Well, there's your false dichotomy for the week, children. Yep. Fake debate still makes it happen. So we move on to our three stars of the week, or what we like to call...
Oh, good for you!
And as always, we start with the third star and Mr. Jerk.
My third star for this, you know, lockout shortened podcast is Mr. Arundel, because as I alluded to earlier, he, you know, was the one bright spot in the game against Dallas. And, you know, as a from a fan's perspective, I'm really enjoying the fact that he's getting a lot more starts than he has been in the first half. And you know what? He might be good. I mean, you know, best save percentage and goals against average. We've started 10 or more games.
Yes. My third star for the week is the flu, because the flu seems to have shown up around the Sharks more than pretty much anything else has. So the flu, you get my third star. Rocket, your third.
My third star is going to Mr. Kevin Lacey, because turtlenecks must be always.
All right. So we go to our second star. And my second star for the week, I'm going to go with... Geez, there's really no one I really want to give this to. Boy, I guess I want to hand it out to Tierney. Just 'cause. Get well soon, buddy. I mean, honestly, just... Actually, you know what? I switched that. My second star is going out to NyQuil and flu medication. There you go. So, because they're a little bit better than the flu. So flu medication, you get my second star for the week. Rocket?
My second star goes to the milker, Carlson. Okay, the milker. Because I miss you. I miss you, milker. I think we all miss you. We miss you a lot. That's why he gets my second star.
Somebody cue the Whitney Houston. Your second hockey jerk.
My second star is Patrick Marleau, because he, as he's done in years past, single-handedly tried to drag the Sharks back into the game against the Wild, and kind of made me start to think maybe those two seasons in 14-15 and 15-16 where he was, you know, air quotes, bad, that bad.
Yeah. Oh, time for numero uno. Rocket.
All right, so I'm just going to be gratuitous here and give my number one star to the puck truck himself. If you want the puck moved from your zone through the neutral zone deep into the ozone, there's only one guy to call. That's your offensive defenseman, number four, Brendan Dillon.
Wasn't sure if you were going to go with Brendan or Ed Dillon this week, but oh, okay, no. I'll so take Brendan. That. Hockey jerk, you're number one for the week.
My number one star is going to be Randy Hahn, because they had him do play-by-play for the NBC Sports Network broadcast Sharks Wild, and unlike other, you know, regional play-by-play guys who occasionally get called up to NBCSN, whether it's, you know, the Flyers guy, Chicago, Anaheim, you know, Randy did a really good job at keeping things down the middle. And honestly, as, you know, sucky as it was to see Minnesota score as often as they did, I liked hearing the excitement in his voice, because I knew that he was keeping it down the middle.
You really could hear that he was excited. I think he was just excited to be able to call a good game.
Yeah, I that's one of the things that I do fear once in a while, but I'm hoping that Randy's roots, especially helping being a key factor in bringing the Sharks into San Jose, bringing hockey to this area, I'm really hoping that he remains with the team as long as he decides to call games. Because the fact that he is not national, I don't think is from a lack of calls to him asking him to do it. I hope that's it. That's what I think. That's what I'm going to just stick with, is that he just loves San Jose too much to do the national thing. That's what I think. Because goddamn, I would hate to see him go, because he is so good. And that was the thing, is every time there's an NBC or every time the Sharks are on a national game now, I'm just kind of like, oh, you know what? Chances are we're going to have Randy, so it's okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Because Yeah, some of those other national guys, and Grant, hey, I get it. He's our home guy, but you know what? The guy I've heard other guys try to call the national game, and but yeah, I mean, there's just something. It's a little off, but that's just me. Anyway, I fear I went on too long. So my number one star is Christy Yamaguchi. If you are unaware and related, if you're not sure, married to Brett Hedekin, who does a lot of work, a lot of TV work for the Sharks, a little bit of radio here and there. But Christy Yamaguchi, if you didn't hear by now, Nancy Kerrigan is going to be on Dancing with the Stars, and Christy Yamaguchi today tweeted her, all the best. I think you'll do a really good job, something along those lines, but finished off with break a leg. Now, if you are unsure why that means anything, do me a favor right now. Press pause on your podcast and go Google Nancy Kerrigan break a leg. Maybe put
Nancy Kerrigan,
1994 Olympics in there.
Tonya Harding. Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding. That's all you have to find.
Yeah, go ahead. Put that in there. Wouldn't it be really funny if they had Tonya Harding in the audience for Dancing with the Stars? Not that I ever watched that crap, but it was
No, they should
just.
have. It would be funny if she was one of the guest judges.
Right? So they have guest judges? Okay. So anyway, just Yamaguchi just burning down Twitter today was fantastic. It was awesome. And like I said, married to Brett Hedekin, so kind of Sharks related in enough that. Christy, you are my number one star, and if you were named one of our three stars,
Oh, good for you.
Here we go.
What?
Do you hear it?
Oh.
You hear it, right? There's no way that was loud enough, right? That's a little bit better. It's time for Around the Horn. So, just a couple to touch on this week. First off, I'll start with you. Rocket, is LA done?
Yes. Stick a fork in them.
And what happens, if anything, with Dean Lombardi, general manager, and head coach Daryl Sutter? Are they both here next year? Or is one of them gone? Is both of them gone? What's going on?
They're both there. They are gonna fire Sutter mid-season.
Ooh, that's interesting. And not completely out of the realm of possibility whatsoever. Wouldn't it be funny? We're talking about Daryl Sutter, a coach who was once locked out of the dressing room by his players. Wouldn't it be funny if the entire franchise just locked him out when he showed up for work one day and like none of the doors worked? That would be cool. And speaking of Los Angeles, oh, hockey jerk, what becomes of Jerome Iginla after this season?
I don't really want to talk about it. No, Jerome Iginla. Okay.
Oh, watch. You're about 5 seconds from now, the hockey jerk's gonna be, "Oh, my papa."
So, you know what? You know, guys like Vinny LeCavalier, you knew he was gonna retire at the end of the year. That was a given. But with Iginla, I really don't know because obviously he's slowed down this year compared to even last year. So you could make the argument that he's not feeling it anymore. But at the same time, the level of passion that he has for the game, he wants a cup. Now, where or what kind of team would take him? I don't know. I'm not Jerome Iginla or his agent, so I couldn't tell you that.
Well, he's this is the end of his contract, right?
Correct. So he would be an unrestricted free agent.
Something happened that I did. Are we adding new production value that I'm unaware of?
I think we're floating away.
Ah, okay. So continue on your Iggy Love Fest. I
Please
mean,
come to sit.
well, I mean, just like if, say, Montreal or Pittsburgh or Minnesota or Chicago, I mean, some team that's clearly on the upswing that has a good shot at winning a cup next year, does he sign for the league minimum with that team for, next year just in hopes of one final shot at it?
You know, you listed a handful of teams. Pittsburgh, I don't think, is in the cards just because they're a very speed team and they've already got way too many roster spots taken. Montreal's a hard one because you know, as we all know, speaking French is a hell of a drug. And I don't know if a guy like Iggy would work out there. Honestly, there are a couple things I can see happening. I could honestly see him go for his last hurrah back in Calgary, just because, you know, he is Mr. Flame, you know, former captain, franchise leader.
I get that, but in order to dance, you need a partner, and I think Calgary left that party a long time ago.
Hey,
yes.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
How many future Hall of Famers come back and skate their last year at league minimum?
Jeremy Roenick kind of did that with the Sharks, but
okay.
Well, and see, what's funny is then there's the opposite where you had like Jeff Friesen had won a cup with Dallas, but came back and tried to catch back on, wasn't able to do it with the Sharks. You also have what's his name, Claude something or other. What's that jerk off's name?
Claude Lemieux.
Yeah. What a Claude Lepew. So it's not out of the. I mean, we've seen guys that have won cups try to come back to their, you know, their I don't know, the team that they started with or whatever, and try to make something happen. Even Sandis Ozolinch tried that after winning a cup with Colorado, but that doesn't seem to work out. But a future Hall of Famer still trying to make it happen. I don't know what did Ray Bourque sign for at Colorado after 19 years in Boston?
Well, they traded him. Boston traded him to Colorado at the deadline, and they lost, I don't know what year round in the playoffs. And then the following season was when they won the cup, but I don't know if he still had a year left or if they re-signed him. I'm not sure, but either way, it's very rare. And like you said, there's nowhere has it been written down or indicated that Calgary wants to bring him back. I mean, it would make sense considering Calgary is a playoff team right now, but still, he may have missed his window, you know?
Yeah, I think he did. But we move on to the other thing for around the horn this week. Kachuk. Mm-hmm. Oh, Kachuk, Kachuk, Kachuk. No, not Keith. His little one, Kachuk, gets a hearing for elbowing Drew Doughty and ends up getting a 2-game suspension. Now, I looked at this hit, and I'll start with you on this, Rocket. The hit, it looked, I think this is one of those ones where you can make the case. You look at it from one angle, and it looks somewhat incidental. You look at it from another angle, and it looks deliberate. What do you think on this one?
Well, I think both can be true. It's really about both players in this league on the receiving end. You know, it's because not only do you have to be out of control, but you also have to find someone who is willing to have the reaction disproportionate to your loss of control. It's like he came down halfway through it and realized he was going to hit Drew Doughty and just said, all right, I'm going to go with it. And that happened. And when Drew realized that he was slightly out of line, he decided, oh, that wasn't as bad as it should have been. I'll just make it worse for him. And proceeded to tap into, you know, the dramatics.
Yeah, this one that gets to me is the fact that Kachuk didn't even get a penalty for it, I think is very funny. Hockey Jerk, which way did you see the incident?
Well, so I didn't see the hit originally when it happened. I just heard about it. And then I saw that, you know, player safety called him for a hearing. And, like, are they really making it public that they're going to congratulate him for his service to humanity? But then...
Oh, that's a good one.
But
then, it took, you know, me a minute. I'm like, wait, what? Oh yeah, it was on a king. Never mind.
but then you know what? I saw the hit, and again, hate to play devil's advocate here, especially as a Sharks fan, but I think that it's absolutely a dirty play, and I think Kachuk should be suspended, because if you watch the clip, Kachuk looks back, sees Doughty coming towards him, and then kind of backs that ass up into him, but instead uses his elbow right in the chin.
Yeah, like I said, I think this is one of those ones where it I mean, it really comes down to the color glasses you're wearing. I really think that you look at it from one angle, it looks incidental, like that Kachuk is just getting his arm up to brace because he can see Doughty coming. Like I said, I don't know. I think two games, I guess, is fine. Of course, the statement from the Flames was pretty funny that basically said, for everybody not in Southern California, you're welcome. I thought that was pretty funny. But the thing that sticks out to me about this hit, because I didn't see it in real time, I went and looked at some of the videos that were online, and the thing that really gets me is that the play occurs.
Yep.
You know, Kachuk hits Doughty, whether you say it was an intentional elbow or whatever, however you want to call it, that's fine. But as the play continues, Doughty goes down and Kachuk heads towards the corner to try to retrieve the puck. And Pearson from the Kings clearly tries to run Kachuk. I mean, he skates around another Flame just to get a good shot at Kachuk. And nothing was called on Pearson, not a charge, not anything. Well, anything, I think Pearson should have also gotten a hearing. Not that a suspension would have happened, but a pretty huge freaking warning that says, hey, you cannot do that. I understand you want to step up for your guy, and if you want to skate, you know, take down his number and challenge him to a fight the next shift, or if you want to wait till he's up, because he did take... Or, you know, Pearson did essentially, like, lay him out, which was a sucker punch as far as I was concerned. I just thought it was a really – that was awful on Pearson. And Pearson got absolutely nothing. And honestly, I hope Giordano or somebody on the Flames took down Pearson's number for the next time they get together. And maybe they go charge him, because I thought that was ridiculous.
You know, I'd rather they just charge him on the scoreboard instead. That's sort of how the game is played this day, you know. I think that the reason why there were no penalties called is because there is an official that's right next to Doughty and Kachuk, but he's facing away from them.
He was behind Doughty.
He can barely see them out of the corner of his left eye. So when Doughty goes down, all of the ref's attention that's right there is on Doughty. And by that time, Pearson had nailed Kachuk over in the corner, and the ref didn't see the beginning of that penalty either. So that's not one, but two major penalties that a referee did not catch because he did not see the initiating contact of either penalty. It doesn't matter that he saw the middle of it. It doesn't matter that he saw the end of it. If you do not see the initiation, you cannot make the call. That's why there is nothing called on that. Yes, I agree with you that in review, Pearson probably should have gotten something for that. That was really... just bad. That was just bad form.
Haven't we even seen that? Like, didn't Vlasic get like a 10-minute unsportsmanlike with no time left in a game, but he got because he said something?
But if you also recall, during the lockout season, he lightsabered Danny Heatley and got a misconduct at the end of the game too.
Yeah. So either way, that's one of those things where Pearson, there should have been something, whether not necessarily a hearing or whatever, but just some sort of thing that says, you know, it was, you know, after review, after we took a look at the game afterwards, yeah, Pearson needed a phone call at the very least.
If anything, it should have been like how the Sharks Ottawa game went, where, you know, Hoffman gets the suspension for nailing Couture, and then Vlasic gets the fine for hitting Carlson. Like, that's how it should have played out. Yeah. You know, I think you give Tanner Pearson a fine.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah. And finally, in around the horn, real quick, real fast, let's speed it up. Press release today. I don't know that this is like earth-shattering news by any stretch of the imagination, but CSN will no longer be CSN come April 1st. They are switching up to NBC, so it will now be NBC Sports Bay Area and NBC Sports California, and the Sharks will remain on the California channel for the time being. I tweeted it out earlier. Randy Hahn's closet gotta be getting pretty full of gear with dead sports logos. KICU, Sports Channel, Fox Sportsnet, Comcast Sportsnet, now NBC. Here's just another change, but other than that, it's pretty much the only change. Although I can now hear, I guess we've gone from so many different intros. If you do the Fox Sports has their musical intro, Comcast has their little music intro, and so now I guess it's time for Sharks Hockey. Bong, bong, bong. You know, maybe that's the only change we hear. So that'll do it. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this doesn't really come at a surprise because it wasn't too long ago that Comcast bought NBC and started, you know, consolidating all of their assets. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
To be honest with you, so am I, but maybe they just had to get some ducks in a row. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe some regulations just had to go out the window and they had to wait for... okay, let's not go there. Anyway, that's it for Around the Horn, babies.
Remix! So,
that's right. Previews and predictions, kids. Unfortunately, I've lost the predictions that were made last week. So guess
that's
what?
Probably better for everyone.
Everybody won. Everybody
Yay!
Won.
Yay! Good right? for us.
So this week, between now and the next show, we have at Dallas, at Nashville, and then hosting the New York Rangers. So I'm going to go first at Dallas. I'm going to say a 3-2 win because there's no way they lose back-to-back, or I shouldn't say back-to-back, but there's no way they lose two games against these guys, two consecutive games. They don't lose two in a row to the worst goalie tandem to ever suit up. So 3-2 win. Hockey Jerk, your call.
I think they're going to beat Dallas 3-0 because I think they're going to be I think they're going to be pissed off that they let a crappy team beat them, and they're going to have something to prove.
I like it. And Rocket.
Oh, this is going to be, they're going to stage a comeback of momentous proportion, aided by copious amounts of B12. It's going to be 7-0 San Jesus. Jose.
Nice. Can't wait to see Dell get the shutout in that one. Versus Nashville. I'm going with a 4-2 loss right now because until the Sharks can prove that they can hang with a playoff team other than the Washington Capitals, I'm calling a loss. 4-2. Hockey Jerk.
I'm going to call a 2-1 loss because Nashville has one of the best defensive cores in the league and the Sharks are having trouble scoring goals, but Nashville can't really score a whole lot of goals themselves either.
Rocket, you know Pekka Rinne likes to chop a tree.
Yeah, 1-0. Sharks win.
Ho-ho-ho! All right. And versus the Rangers. Again, review my last statement about the Nashville Predators. I'm saying the Sharks lose this one 4-1. Hockey Jerk.
They're going to lose 3-1 with the third goal being an empty netter.
And Rocket.
I think they're going to lose 3-1, but I don't think it'll be an empty netter.
Well, so I hope you enjoyed that rosy picture and outlook that we've just painted for you for the upcoming Sharks week in hockey. Oy. Can you tell the bottom, the optimism has kind of left us? It's pretty just, bleh. That's what a week of, that's what losing three games for the, in three consecutive games for the first time all season will do to you. So with that, Hockey Jerk, your final thoughts and where the people might be able to find you.
My final thought is that if you were one of the lucky person to DM me for Pucknologist Bingo, I hope you enjoyed yourself. And you can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. Your various hot takes, dad jokes, random stats, and it sounds like somebody's backing up an 18-wheeler.
Right? That's right, baby. Let's put it in reverse here. Rocket, your final thoughts on where the people might find you.
Well, hey, my name is Rocket Backhander, and thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. Look, my final thoughts for this week, it's not time to throw the match out just yet. Yeah, all right, maybe it's kind of, you might want to get a little to-go bag, a little weekender, overnight bag set aside, gear toothbrush, you know, ready to evacuate at any moment, but not yet. Not ready for evacuation. Sharks are going to get better. They literally have to heal. They're fighting off small, tiny things that are hurting them and their game. And it isn't Marchand. So Hey, they're going to get better. Things are going to look up, and we're still going to play us. Woo woo. My name is Rocket Backhander, folks. You can find me on Twitter, and I'm usually making fun of people who hockey better than I do, but perhaps don't dress as well as I do. You know, because I'm like that. I'm a jerk. Well, jerk rubs off on me, and so does AJ and everybody else. That's why I'm sort of here. And you can also check me out on Instagram, Sharks Fixtures, Cuda Pictures. I'm sorry, Barracuda Pictures. I know some people don't like it when you say Cuda. And, you know, teal shoes, teal booze, teal hair, don't care. That's one word, Pucknology.
I don't know what that is. Cuda almost sounds like a bad word in Spanish or something. Like that would, like you don't want to call somebody a cuda.
Cuda.
I don't know. Maybe that's what we should have called women instead of cougars, cudas.
That would cudas.
But yeah, that might have been cooler. Anyway, my final thought: just win the game. To quote the one and only Ray Ratto, how about that? That's my final thought. Just win the game. And I can't. I broke my power play drum. Like, I've just beaten the hell out of it. I can't do it anymore. So I think I just got to stop getting on the power play because it feels like I'm the only one doing it. You can find me, AJ_Strong, on the Twitter and the Instagram. That's it, kids. Show number 22, Danny Boyle, in the books. As always, please subscribe to us, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, whatever podcast platform you use, and follow us on Twitter at Pucknologists. Show 22 down. We'll see you next week for 23. Bye-bye,
who's
kids.
Who's 23?
Dimitrakos. I don't know.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.